The sounds of students are greatly diminished in summer on most college campuses. There just aren't as many of them taking classes and fewer classes available. On the Southern Oregon University campus this summer, there are other sounds to take in, sounds of heavy equipment and construction workers at their tasks. There's a lot of building or rebuilding activity at the SOU campus in Ashland. Let's get the story from Craig Morris, who is SOU's Vice President for Finance and Administration. Craig, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Is this an unusually busy summer for SOU in terms of construction and reconstruction?
It's probably the busiest summer for that I've ever seen. I think SOU right now is in a renaissance of state investment the last 2 years and the 2-3 years that are coming. We've seen great improvements and more improvements to come. In the past 2 years, we've seen new residence halls being built and a dining facility being built. Churchill was remodeled, and the exterior of Taylor Hall was upgraded and painted, and new windows were put in. So far, just in the last 2 years, we've seen huge improvements, all on the state's nickel. None of our operating funds have been used to do that work, so that's great for us.
Which always produces the head scratch, I know, for a lot of people, and I think for the people who are involved in finance like yourself, it becomes like, oh, God, do we have to do this again? But it always bears explaining, I think, to understand the difference between the operating money and the capital money, particularly when you've got a situation where programs have had to be cut and tuition has had to be raised for the operating portion of things. So how have things divide out? How are you having money to do the building projects while this other stuff is going on?
Yeah, and it's a great question, and thanks for allowing me to explain it yet again. So the state finances capital improvements for the buildings that are owned by the state, which, of course, are all of our academic and administrative buildings on campus. They do that by financing through bonds, and those bond dollars are restricted to the projects that they fund them for. The state very wisely does not borrow money to finance operations for state agencies or universities. So we're restricted to the funding they're able to give us based on tax receipts and the revenues that the state brings in each biennium. So there's that difference between deferred maintenance money that they give us or specific funds for capital projects that are all bond funded.
All right, that might be the best explanation I've ever heard. So if you're essentially putting a new roof on the house, you can go to the bank. But if you're just trying to take care of the day-to-day activities in the house, you don't go into deficit.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right, well said. So there's the major things that are going on campus, the major objects of construction this year, begin with the science building, which is a hulking old concrete edifice. Tell us about how old and what the issues are with the building.
Well, there's two phases to the building. One portion was built in the 1950s and the other in the 1970s. It's a little bit more than 100,000 square feet, and the state has given us money to it's called a deferred maintenance project. And we requested that several years ago, and the state has approved that, and the funds have now come through to us. We'll be doing seismic retrofit and upgrades. All of the building systems will be improved, like the HVAC system, new windows, electricity, plumbing. All of the science labs will be remodeled and upgraded. It's a great project, sorely needed. We're doing it, amazingly, in 14 months. So we'd had conversation with contractors, and they started off with, well, you know, this is a 26-month project. And we said, well, you know, we can't have the science building offline that long. You know, how can we do this in a much shorter period, maybe one academic year? And so they said, well, if you move the entire faculty and staff out of the science building so that we don't have to phase it, we can get it done in 14 months, and we could start in July and be done the following year in September in time for fall term start. And so we said, oh my gosh, how are we going to move all of the faculty and staff and all of their equipment and their stuff out of that building at one time? And because we had built the new residence halls, Cascade, our old residence halls, were vacant. So we decided that we would look into just relocating all of science and creating temporary science labs and classrooms and faculty offices over in Cascade. And we found out that if we did that, we would be able to get the project done in 14 months to achieve that goal time-wise. And we'd also save a couple of million dollars because we were doing the project in 14 months instead of 26 months. So the money that we spent in Cascade to make these temporary labs actually saves us then a net of maybe $1 million, $1.5 million in the project that goes back into the project. So we couldn't have accomplished this without the cooperation of the science faculty and staff, and I can't compliment and thank them enough for the efforts and that they did, and this was a huge effort to box them up and move them over to Cascade, and greatly appreciate their support.
And quietly done, I must say. I work across the street from the science building, and so I would have thought I would have noticed the moving of things like all those chemicals and formaldehyde and things that must be in there. So they were quite stealthy about this.
Quite possibly, but it was a huge effort.
Craig Morris is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is Southern Oregon University's Vice President for Finance and Administration, and we're talking about the various building projects going on the SOU campus. If you have questions or comments to add to the conversation, please join in, 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So what is the total price tag then on the science building fix-up?
It's just a little bit more than $21 million, mm-hmm. All funded by the state. As I mentioned before.
All right, by selling bonds.
Okay. Correct.
And you also have upgrades going on at the track and the football stadium, I understand.
We do. So we also have a deferred maintenance project that's been approved by the legislature, which is around McNeil Hall. And that's another $21 million that the state is giving us to do the same type of work in McNeil Hall as we're doing in science, seismic upgrades, HVAC systems, plumbing, electrical, that type, the ADA compliance, that type of thing. And we're marrying that with the Student Rec Center project, which is another $17 million that the students have voted to tax themselves, if you will, for this rec center. So the rec center and the McNeil project will meld together into one project. And part of the rec center funding also funds some track improvements and artificial turf installation in our stadium. These efforts are being done to comply with Title IX issues on equality for women's sports. And we will be expanding the stadium grounds to so the football field will now accommodate a soccer field so we can expand women's soccer. And in order to expand it, we had to redo the track. And so we're doing the artificial turf and expanding the football field to soccer size and installing a new track. So great improvements there that will enhance our collegiate sports activities.
It really is a sense of having to move things on the shelf. It's like if you move this thing over here, then the other four next to it have to move. And you're constantly – so this idea of being able, for example, to build the new residence hall, which allows you to move students out of Cascade, which allows you to move the scientists into Cascade, work on the science building, et cetera, and then similar moves with the athletic facilities.
Yes, there's a lot of strategy involved in all of this stuff. Right.
No doubt. Is there a big board in your office or something with arrows and everything?
Right.
Big flow chart.
Right.
So in the football stadium, I know some people are going to question the application of artificial turf. I mean, Ashland's a real natural grass kind of town. Were there some issues? I mean, what led to the decision to go for artificial turf?
Well, it's going to save us money operating-wise going forward in the future. Not only will we not have to water it, which, of course, this year is, you know, clearly on the table, the cost of maintenance, we won't have to mow it, we won't have to fertilize it, we won't have to weed it. So we find that we'll save probably $200,000 or $300,000 a year in operating costs because we'll have artificial turf instead of regular grass.
So you do pay a lot up front, it sounds like, but over time it balances out, it pays for itself?
Yes, yes.
This stuff does get hot, and obviously Ashland can be a hot place. Are there any concerns from football players, coaches, anybody like that?
I haven't heard anything about heat. It is padded, so it will be softer for falls when somebody's tackled. So I think that's good. Everything that I've heard from athletes have been very positive about this. They're looking forward to playing on the artificial turf. I've heard nothing about concerns about it being too hot or being artificial.
So what is the total cost of the all the recreational facility retrofits and remodels?
So the McNeil portion is $21 million, another $21 million, uh-huh. Just like science, right? Right. The rec center is $17 million, and the improvements to the track and field are around $2 million.
So in the rec center, you said that the students had taxed themselves to pay for this. They agreed to raise their own fees or something?
They have, yes. Their student incidental fee will be raised by as much as $90 a term, starting once the construction starts. And it'll probably phase in at a lower amount and then in subsequent years grow to that full 90.
And so what kinds of features will this rec center contain?
The typical university rec center will make connections to our existing swimming pool. There might be a running track. There might be a climbing wall. There'll be fitness areas. There'll be another gym. So weight and workout areas.
And was it much of a tough sell to get the students to go along to agree to raise their fees?
There was a lot of conversation among the students, and they actually had an election and voted to do this project. And there's a lot of excitement among the students. They revisited it yet again last winter, and we said, okay, you know, you really need to be sure that this is what you want to do, because now's the time. And they revisited the issue, and they came back and said, yep, we want to do this. We're very excited. We think it's the right thing for students. We think it's the right thing for SOU.
Craig Morris is SOU's Vice President for Finance and Administration. We're talking about building projects on the campus in Ashland. Numerous they seem to be this summer. There's also the Britt Building. It seems like the building in which we are located, Central Hall, is surrounded by buildings that are having work done on them. So the Britt Building just downhill, while the Science Building just uphill is getting work done. What's up with Britt?
Well, we've just formed a administrative service center on campus where we have centralized many administrative functions. It's allowed us to save some money and to to operate better in a compliance environment for administrative functions like payroll and invoicing and payables, that type of thing. And so they need to have a place to centralize and seat these folks. And so we selected the second floor of Britt, and we're using some of our state deferred maintenance money to remodel that second floor. It's a $380,000 project, which will be done by September so that our folks will be settled in when fall term starts.
Well, deferred maintenance is an obvious phrase. I mean, obviously, the maintenance that was put off for many years. Was it something that the legislature was able to give to SOU because it had a better set of years?
Well, the legislature gives to the university specific money called capital repair and renewal money. So SOU historically gets somewhere between $1.5 and $2 million each biennium from the state to put into its buildings to replace roofs or improve bathrooms or repair elevators and approach building systems. And then we have these other major building deferred maintenance projects that we ask for, and like the Science Building in McNeil.
When you talk about needing an administrative service center for SOU, I mean, is this partly with an eye toward the future because of the fact that the whole nature of the relationship between the universities and what was a centralized Oregon University system is changing? You'll need to do some functions on campus that perhaps you didn't before?
Well, that's partly true. But the main impetus was an audit that we had probably about 18 months ago. And it was a review of administrative functions done by the University System Internal Audit Department. And they found that though we were in compliance, there were places where we could be better. And so as we talked with folks, you know, we a lot of people scattered around the campus wearing a lot of different hats and a lot of things on their plate, and we felt that if we centralized some of these functions and moved people into a service center, we would be able to develop specialists around invoicing or procurement card processing or payroll or human resources, and we wouldn't find ourselves kind of on the edge of compliance.
All right, to make sure there's a little more comfort zone between you and the edge of the rules.
Exactly.
Right. In the process of refitting some of these older buildings, I know that SOU prides itself on the great LEED rating at the Higher Education Center in Medford, shared with Rogue Community College. Will you be able to bump the LEED ratings up on these buildings?
Yeah, the Science Building, we're shooting for LEED Gold. And for the Rec Center in McNeil, we've told the architects that LEED Gold is the minimum, and we really want to strategize on how we get that to LEED Platinum. So that's our goal. I don't know whether we'll achieve that or not, but that's our stretch goal.
And LEED I don't remember what the acronym stands for, but it's about making sure that you have the most up-to-date fittings that allow it to be environmentally and and sustainable.
Right. It's a set of standards for construction and the way you do your construction and the way the building will operate once it's completed that gets you these different ratings. The state requires us to build everything to LEED Silver, which is the lowest LEED rating standards. State doesn't require us to be certified LEED, but we take the direction of doing this and getting certified.
All right. So a very busy construction season at Southern Oregon University. Some of this will extend off into the fall. Obviously, the science building won't be done. I'm going to guess BRIT won't be done either.
BRIT will be done in September.
Will it? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So before students come back
Correct.
In October. We want to thank Craig Morris, the Southern Oregon University Vice President for Finance and Administration, for taking the time with us to talk about this big construction summer at SOU. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.